Good afternoon. I have no relationships or potential or possible or any conflicts of interest to disclose here. Thank you very much for coming today. It's really my pleasure to spend the next 15 minutes talking to you all about an initiative that the Healthy Aging Research Network did over this last year. So I will be focusing on both the outcomes as well as our lessons learned from a national action-oriented dissemination. For those of you that aren't familiar with the Healthy Aging Research Network, I did bring a handout, and it was on the chair of the back, at the back if you didn't pick one up. It talks to you a little bit about what our mission is. I'll refer to it as the HAN, which is the Healthy Aging Research Network. We are funded through CDC, the Healthy Aging Program, and our mission is threefold. First of all, we're interested in understanding the determinants of healthy aging in older adult populations, and as such, the framework we use is a social ecological model. We're focused around developing as well as evaluating programs and policies that promote healthy aging. And then we're also very interested in translating and disseminating those evidence-based programs that are sustainable into programs as well as policies throughout the country. The Healthy Aging Research Network is celebrating our 10th year, and our current five-year funding cycle has 8 different universities who serve as member centers. We also have affiliates, and then we have a large number of partners in which we're able to do our work and extend our reach. So you'll see here is University of California at Berkeley, University of Colorado, University of Illinois at Chicago, West Virginia University, University of North Carolina, University of South Carolina, Texas A&M, and then we serve as the lead center at University of Washington. It's a wonderful collaborative group. We do work also with our partners here and a number of agencies, both divisions at CDC, as well as other public and private partners that we have. We really look at the HAN as advancing science, and we do conduct primary research, and we really are looking at moving towards action as well as policy. Through our work, we're also able to improve the infrastructure and capacity, both of public health and aging. So we really see ourselves as the intersection of public health and aging. We do our work by engaging experts across disciplines. We're very committed to working across sectors. So although my primary affiliation is in the School of Nursing, I also have an adjunct appointment in the School of Public Health. And at each of our different member centers, we are affiliated with schools of public health, but we have social workers, we have epidemiologists, we have gerontology specialists, and we are expanding with this particular initiative to architects and urban planners. So it's really wonderful to get the diversity there. And it is really important for us to leverage our connections with our partners. Again, our work is only as good as our ability to connect and really be meaningful at the community level. The initiative I'm about to talk to you about, really, I think Becky very nicely gave a sort of foundation for why it's so important for us to address issues related to the built environment and older adults. So I thank Becky and Bill for their beginning thoughts. Any of you who attended the sessions this morning that Kathy Sykes was involved in related to the built environment also lays a really good foundation. One other report I wanted to call your attention to is the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Overcoming Obstacles to Health. And again, a report that really stresses how older adult health is very much influenced by environmental factors. And we know that without a safe environment, that this can really lead to problems of immobility, falls, and social isolation. And so when we're looking at changes in our environment around us, we really need to make those changes to be able to help people choose health. And we need to do this both by individual choices, but also by removing obstacles in the environment. So I am pleased to talk to you about a dissemination initiative that we held. And this was actually based not only on this Robert Wood Johnson Foundation report and this other research that's come before us, but we had held a series of 3 conferences in 2016, 2007, 2008, and 2009. And they were around the dissemination of evidence-based programs. And the third of those three conferences was on the environment. And one of the things our participants told us at that meeting is they wanted more forums where they could come together and engage in dialogue and share each other's and share resources with each other. Not just have large lectures, but really be able to share problem solving and share strategies that had been successful in their communities. And so our goal of this dissemination initiative related to environmental policy change was to engage and support multi-sector professionals in the planning and implementing of environmental and policy change with the goal of improving the health and well-being of older adults. And our particular focus was on the environment and policy change. Was anybody involved in that initiative here in this room? Okay, good. A number of you were. Okay. This initiative involved partnering with some colleagues, and we created this online community. If you went to agingfriendly.org, this still exists, so these resources are available to you all. You would see an opening page like this. And our initiative actually included a number of different components. We had on-demand presentations, so these were presentations that were pre-recorded and available to participants in our initiative. These were leaders in the field of environmental policy change related to older adults, and these presentations could be downloaded with their PowerPoints and available to anybody who participated in the initiative. We also had an interactive online webinars. These then were live, and again, we had community partners as well as researchers who together offered webinars, and participants called in and viewed the PowerPoints. Those are now archived, so again, they're available for anybody to use. They're wonderful teaching tools, either if you work with students, if you're doing any kind of staff training in the community, if you yourself might be new to the field, but they are readily available and free for you to use. We also had an online discussion group, which included both a cafe for people to come in and introduce themselves, as well as what we would call a Way Cool phenomena, a Way Cool forum. And this was thanks to Becky Hunter's terminology. Way Cool was a forum where folks could come in and either on a conference call share ideas and sort of talk about strategies that worked related to environmental policy change, or they could also submit online action tools that they had completed. We did create a series of action briefs, which I will show you in a little bit, and these paralleled our monthly topics. And then we also had facilitated technical support, where we actually had people either write or phone in and talk about what some of their issues were, and as a collective, we provided support to them. These were the four main topics. We did offer the initiative over a period of 4 months. We had one key topic per month, and with that topic came the pre-recorded presentation. It had the webinar, and then we had a discussion associated with that. And on the slide, you'll see the four topics. The first one had to deal with overview, and it dealt with frameworks for both planning, implementing, and evaluating. The second topic had to do with optimal living environments, and we talked about optimal designs for home, neighborhoods, and communities. The third topic had integrated approaches. We particularly focused on mobility, and there we looked at partnerships, practices, and policies. And then the fourth one had to do with environmental issues related to healthy aging. Here shows a picture of our four action briefs that we created. Again, these are available free to you all, and they parallel the themes of each of the topics that came before. So you can see the red one here is on addressing critical challenges in the field. We had frameworks to actually guide your change. We had building mobility into your planning and policies and the optimal living environments. And again, these were very practical-oriented action briefs. We also had another component, which was a clearinghouse that we developed, and this clearinghouse actually is a database of environmental policy change resources. And there's over 130 resources that we're constantly updating. This, again, is available to all of you. Included in this are toolkits, best practices, case studies, guidelines for working with decision makers, and other information that might be of interest to you. Again, if either you're seasoned and have been in the field for a while, or if you're newer to the field. The Clearinghouse, as I mentioned, has 130 online resources, and you can see from this slide the different kinds of tools and best practices that are included in there. We focused on four main topics: healthy aging, healthy communities, the built environment, and at the start we decided to focus in and look just at mobility then. And our goal was really to look at a multi-sector group as far as our target audience grows. And so the target users aren't just public health and aging, but it's really health service researchers, it's architects, it's planners, it's engineers, it's universal design, it's people in business as well in the recreation field. So these resources are both developed by them, but also used by them too. And if you would go into the Clearinghouse then, you would actually notice that each of the different resources has a really brief annotation to it. So it's wonderful because you can go in and look for a particular resource, and before you actually open it up, see if in fact it meets what your current needs are. And we're pleased to see that this is just an example of a number of different URLs that have actually posted the Clearinghouse as far as access to it. So there are other agencies that are picking this up. When we actually launched our initiative, we were really pleased with the diversity of people who registered for it. So when we actually look at marketing, I think that's always a lesson to us. We actually had distributed to over probably 100,000 people, and this is both listservs, membership agencies, maybe some of you were recipients of it, and we were able to get a real wide diversity of occupations and affiliations, as well as having two-thirds of the states involved, as well as 11 different countries involved at some part of the initiative. When we looked at our overall initiative, both at the presentations, the webinars, the Clearinghouse, the technical assistance, our action briefs, this is what was our reach for a period of 4 months. This was from October to January of last year. So actually when we were sitting here at APHA, this initiative was ongoing. In the four live webinars that we had over 350 participants. The on-demand presentations, again, which were the pre-recorded presentations with PowerPoints, we had 2,294 views. The resources that we had for each of the presentations as well as the webinars, we had 458 views with 295 downloads. The Way Cool forums, which were opportunities for people to present their action plans, we had 269 views. And the Clearinghouse, just during that four-month period, we had 669 views. So overall, we had 3,700 views, and that was just during our initial launch and during that four-month period. So again, that resource is still available. So it's incredible as far as our lesson learned about how much reach you can get for an online initiative. We also learned that although we thought a lot of people would be participating in our webinars, we realized that they really liked them better once they were, not liked them better, we got much more of a reach once they were archived. We realized that when you have a webinar, a specific hour on a specific day, people have multiple demands on their time, and if there's a choice, they may choose to watch it at another time that works for them better. We did do an evaluation of it, so we did have 49 people in which we had both pre and post data on them, and some of the things that we were interested in is whether they formed new partnerships, and 38.8% actually reported that they had. An example from a participant was that they had reached out to city commissioners when in the past they hadn't done that before, and they were able to gain a champion in that. Another goal that we had that we were interested in whether participants were able to do anything as far as taking steps to accomplish their goals. And in fact, they had indicated over 63% had taken some step to meet a goal related to this initiative. Here's a concrete example where they developed a walkability survey. We asked them whether they had been able to influence any policy, and actually 50% of them actually had noted that they had been able to influence policy. And then we had actually asked them also, you know, about envisioning change and whether policy had been demystified at all. And they gave us examples in their evaluation how that had been accomplished. Overall, the ratings of this initiative were very high, excellent to very good. We had 79% actually reported that. And then we had a number of very complimentary comments that your funders always like to hear, as well as all the developers and those people involved in the initiative, is the fact that the material was really at a high level, and yet we were still able to make it appealing to novices. Someone had been in the field for 39 years and felt that it was a most impressive initiative. People liked being with other like-minded people and organizations that were encouraging and inspirational, and that they educated beyond the didactic content. So another real lesson learned to us was really the application, not just some theoretical concepts, but really how were people taking these principles and examples and putting them into their community programs. And then really people liked hearing about what other communities were doing. And in particular, when they were faced with challenges, which we are all faced with challenges, what they did to address that. And again, I mentioned from the outset that our Healthy Aging Research Network does work very closely with partners. This was an R13, which was funded by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. So we were very appreciative of them for their funding. And all of our HAN member centers, the 8 academic institutions that I noted earlier, were all engaged with us. We have strong support from Linda and her staff at the Healthy Aging Program. There were other CDC groups involved too. And you can see that we have a number of other partners, both private and public. It really is a wonderful collaboration. So I just conclude with my last slide here is, be the change you want to see in the world. Thank you very much.